So as you guys are giving, it is funny that yesterday Beth showed me a picture of the people camping down there at that place. I thought, that's half the church. I looked at them like, I recognize all of them. And so we kind of like 60 people. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. So a third of the church is camping. And you know what? I do know for a fact that Kenny will have his guitar and Andy will be doing his thing. And I'm sure Kendall and them will be singing and they'll have a great time. Every year they do this. So they're probably having their own church by now. But or who knows what? Maybe they're hiking right now. Who knows? But I will. The Memorial Day to me has become even more and more special, I guess, because of I tell you a story that I grew up in a home. Many of you know my dad. He was a businessman, and all I knew about him was a businessman. He'd come home and we'd do little projects around the house once in a while, but for the most part, my dad was very business, and then when he went on weekends, when I was younger, he went around and preached a lot of different places. So that's all I knew of him. As I got older, I knew he was in the military. I just didn't know how much. But as my life, these last 10 years, we'll call it, I'd go down to Florida and spend quality time with him. I'd ask him, and it's amazing how when people get older, they start just talking about those memories they have. And my dad was stationed in Panama Canal to train people to go over to Vietnam. And the stories that he tells me and the stories, and then, of course, I ask him, I said, well, how do you keep up with people? And he says, the sad thing is Vietnam was one of those wars where, as many of you know, there was no honor in that war. People came home. I remember, never forget, I was driving out to Branson, Missouri with Craig, meaning to meet up with for one of the camp meetings with Mark and them at Keith Moore's church. And we were talking about a lot of things, and one of them, he goes, he'll never forget. He was told when they got back to the United States to take their uniforms off because people were getting spat on and cussed at for what the media was doing to those people who came and served our country. And I think that we've gotten better in some areas. We honor the uniform, but there's a lot of times we don't. We still don't. The respect that we have is not nearly what it should be. But we were watching a TV show. I mean, we like shows that have to do with, like, it seems like every show we watch, somebody dies on. That's what I just got depressed. It's always a mystery of who to solve the murder, right? But SEAL Team is a show that we like to watch. And this last episode, those that have DVR, we're ruining it for you right now, like Chuck did for me the other day at dinner. Thanks, Chuck. I was watching a TV show, and I was like, oh, isn't this sad? They finally did that. I'm like, I didn't even watch it yet. So this big season cliffhanger, thanks for ruining it for me, Chuck. But I still haven't watched it. I'm not going to now. But in this SEAL Team, they were showing an episode a couple weeks ago where one of their guys was going, overseas, and they're all protecting him. He takes this, he sees an IED coming or whatever. I don't know what it was, some type of RPG, something like that. Who knows? Shoot, let her. And he yells at it, and all of a sudden he covers the place to block the shield the rest of his team. They thought, the season, the show the week before ended, and we thought, oh, he might make it. Well, he didn't, and he didn't. The next episode, they did this big memorial for him, and I thought, that is a great picture of what Memorial Day is about, is we have men and women who literally will give their lives over there with no second thought, so we have our lives free. And that's what Memorial Day is really about. It's an honoring, and it's a memory of what these men and women do for us on a daily basis. There are wars, there are things being fought every day that we don't know about. We have troops on the ground all over the world right now. We have things going on that we as Americans will never know how the freedom that we have because of these people. And so, I don't know, the later I get in my life, the more, and I've said it before, and I've become more political in the last year than I ever have, and the fact that we can dishonor the police uniforms and do the things that we do is a disgrace to me. There's a few. I mean, the police officer who did the little TikTok about LeBron, which I thought was hilarious, by the way. If you haven't seen that one, please download it. It's hilarious. And yet he gets fired over it. Yet these people who make billions of dollars and millions of dollars can go ahead and run their mouths all day long. And yet we have a police officer who protects and serves our country, our cities, our regions. And they open their mouth to be funny, and cause a very good point, I might add, in his video. And that's where we live today. And I would like to get to a place where we learn honor back again. We get that. And I talked last week a little bit about we've lost that culture of respect and honor, and I'd like to get that back. And I think it starts in the church. So with that being said, this really actually goes right along with what I'm going to preach about this morning, and that is, if you open up your Bibles to John chapter 12, we're going to share a little bit about this today. Because the ultimate sacrifice these men and women have paved the way for really is a great picture of what Jesus did for us. Would you agree? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about let's start at verse 20, John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up and worshipped at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was beside of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew again, and Andrew, Philip, tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them and said, telling them, saying, "This is the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." Hold your finger right there. Turn your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Some of you can think, boy, this might be a redundant message. Oh, look, my pen was in there. Isn't that odd? Must have been. So Genesis 8, 22, one of those verses that if you do, I mean, I'm all joking aside, I mark my Bible up. You see, I've got yellow here. I've got stars there, but I got this one squared, starred, and everything. Because this was important. Because this is a verse that is a timeless verse. While the earth remains, okay, anybody? Are we on the earth, the same earth that they're talking about here, right? While the earth remains. This means this promise lasts all the way until the end of the earth. So this lasts at least all the way through the rapture. If not longer, because then we can come down here and rule and reign in here. So this verse is going to be a long time coming still. So while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, and day and night shall not cease. So one of the things that Jesus is showing us right here in this exact verse, going back to John chapter 12 now, is that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, unless if we go and become seed to something, we can't bear fruit. Whether it's your money, whether it's your bodies, whether it's your lives, we are to be seed-bearing, fruit-bearing people. Would you agree with this? So I think this is a great picture. Jesus basically is saying, I'm going to become seed for you. I'm going to put myself, I'm jumping ahead of the text a lot, by the way. I'm going to become seed for you. I'm going to give my life so you have a blessed life. I'm going to give my life so you have a healed life. I'm going to give my life so you have a life that you can be free of sin. I'm going to become seed for you so you can receive the harvest of mine. Is that not the most amazing seed time and harvest principle ever? Jesus became seed, and then he then is going to instruct us to do the same, by the way, but in a different way. The way we apply the cross is we become seed. If we think that we can hold on to this life, and I'm going to continue. Let's just keep reading. Verse 25. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there you may be also my servant. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause shall I came to, for this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And this is really powerful. Before I get to the next verse, Jesus is already realizing the death that he's going to experience. He just told his guys, I'm going to go, I'm going to be that grain. I'm going to come, I'm going to die for you. And he realized the heaviness of that already. And he says, this is so the Father receives glory. And look at this. Remember a couple weeks ago, Robbie talked about this, about when Jesus was baptized, they heard a sound from heaven. Some thought they heard thunder. Remember that? Watch this. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it and said that it thundered. Others said, and an angel spoke. Same exact thing that happened when Jesus was baptized. Some heard the Lord or an angel. Some heard thunder. I thought that was a great, isn't it weird how the same God speaks in both occasions, and the same people that are represented received it the same way. Some hear the Lord and some hear thunder. But either way, God spoke, honoring this very event like he did the honoring when Jesus was baptized at the Jordan. And then he says this, I'll keep reading because this really is a powerful. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I, one of my favorite verses right here, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The purpose of me dying isn't so that I stay in the ground and die. It's the fact that I'll be lifted up from that, just like when harvest time comes, that we don't lift the seed. You know, one of the things I did grow up in a home, my mom and my dad, they also loved, we had about 5 acres of property. We had over an acre of a garden alone. And one of the jobs I had was to go and my dad would get the rototiller. We'd rototill the whole thing out, get all nice dirt all turned up. And he would take a rake at the bottom. That's how we did back in the day. I'm sure there's better ways for you all doing it. But we took these little seeds. Yeah, we used the old seeds. And he'd take a rake and he'd just tell him every so many feet he'd walk and just put, and I'd just put a seed there and I'd have to bury it up. That's what I did. That's how I helped plant the garden back in the day. We put seed in the ground. And you know what happened in a couple weeks? I had to weed it too. That was fun. I mean, you already know the whole story. And those that don't know me very well, there is one of my mom's favorite stories that Beth loves to tell all the time. My mom would assign me for chores different rows of green beans. We had to pick and put in the bushels and bring them in. And we had like 4 rows for all 4 of us kids. And so I picked my row every year, and she got smart, by the way, and so you all know. And those that know the story, I've told it a few times, we'll tell it again and again and again. And that is, I learned that if you start taking out some of the bean plants with the beans, you have less beans the next time you pick. Somebody was thinking here. So I would accidentally remove a few bean plants as I was going down. So my first bushel I got was just like all my siblings. Wow, I really did my job. Because we had to do it per week. So we were doing out here all these different opportunities. But I learned quickly that there's a way to make this job quicker. Because by week 3, by week 4, there were less bean plants in my row than theirs. And I guess the bugs just ate them. I don't know. So my mom, of course, not being stupid, decided after the next year or so, the rows became more random. It was, hey, why don't you go get row 2 this time? No, I already picked the plants on row 1. I want row 1. So I stopped doing it. But you see, I learned how to garden. But you know what's really cool about those beans? Those beans fed us and our neighbors and the neighborhood for months and months and months. That little seed had all these beans, and not just one bean, but many beans. And guess what happened next week? More beans came. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us right now. Jesus gives his life once so millions can be saved. Jesus gives his life once to be put sickness and disease on him so millions can be healed. He realized the power of Genesis 8:22 also works when it comes to our lives. Then he tells us the same thing. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't bear fruit. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Romans 6 says I was buried with him, I died with him, and then I was risen again with him. And we must come to a place where we get to ourselves that we died. That's why he says you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. But if you learn to hate the life that is going to be blessed in this earth and learn to love the life that God's given us on this earth, come to a place of death, you will walk in the blessing of the Lord. It makes sense. So we work harder on this earth, but it might not get you anywhere if you're not doing kingdom work. You know, one of the things I have to keep in balance in my life, because I like to, you know, people ask me, why do you go out and paint and roof? And I like it, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy. I'm one of those weird people who I actually like to go out and do that. But, you know, if we're not careful, all the work we put out there, what if that's not producing kingdom fruit? We have to honestly guard ourselves that we don't become so earthly minded wanting to be blessed on this earth that we're losing out on the blessing of the Lord. We have to learn every single day. And this is one of my life verses. If you put up there for me, please, Galatians 2:20. This is one of those verses in my life I grew up memorizing because it's a powerful verse, and we're going to go through it word by word in a minute, and there's a bunch of I's that you're going to learn in just a second, because I have been crucified with Christ. We're going to talk about it in just a second. But today, my heart is this. Jesus gave us the example that when he died, he became the seed for all of us to live. But when now he's given us this seed so we can put our lives into a place of death, so we can receive true life. Let's read this. I am crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There are two I's in this verse. There is the old I and the new I. I, the old Adam, is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, the new I. You see this? So I, the old guy, he's dead. But the new I is living alive. Yet not I, the old, but Christ is in me. The new I represents the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, his power, his life is in me now. So no longer is the old I operating, but the new I. You following me here? There's a lot of I's going on here. So we have an old I and a new I. We have the old who I was and who I am. And when we learn to identify that the life that we live in this life in the flesh, I live by faith. I live my life in faith that the new I is blessed, is healed, is free, is delivered, and I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself as seed for me so I can live a new life. Do you follow this verse? This to me, I will say, if somebody says to me, you can mark this down here officially, if you want to tell me my favorite verse in the entire Bible, I know I say it a lot every week. This is it. This is the life. This is the verse that I have for my life. I want to see this verse, because if this verse manifests in my life, I'm going to live a life of fullness every day. Because I'm going to remind myself every day that the old Adam, biblically in me, the old me, is dead. And if I want to live a life of blessing and I want to live a life of fruitfulness, I have to come to a place where Paul says again, 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. I come to a place that it's not my will, but God's will being done on this earth through me. And that means when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, you're like, I'm going to die to myself today and not give him the one finger wave. I'm going to die to myself today and not yell at him on the top of my lungs because he can't hear me anyways, by the way. I've noticed that, by the way. When I'm yelling at cars, doing stupid things, they never respond. They can't hear me. It's sad. I have some very good things. I have a lot of instructions I'm telling them they're not listening to, by the way. If they would just listen to me, they'd be better drivers. But anyways, not true. Not true at all. I'm giving them a lot of pointers that I think you're stupid, you know, and things like that. They probably don't need to hear that anyways. But I've calmed down a lot as I've gotten older. I just like to tell those stories because they were me. They really were me. I was that guy that, But that old I has to die. That old I that wants to please ourselves has to die. Because if we live to love our lives here, and that's the only blessing we want, we'll never live in the fruitfulness that God's blessed us with. And I'm going to apply this to sickness for a second. If we learn, and again, I am so grateful for all the people that we have that help in this area. But if the only way that you think you're going to get healed is by going to a doctor and getting medicated and all this stuff, that is not. I believe God's word is first. It's priority to me. I have no problem. Again, this is one of the things I've told people. If you have faith to go and you get up and you believe you need to go to a doctor, go to a doctor and that is fine. But if you got faith to believe that God's word, he became seed, he became sickness, so we become healed. He became sin, so we become free from sin. And we become righteous. He didn't just make us free from sin. He made us righteous. He said, he who knew no sin, remember 2 Corinthians 5, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So not only he said, you're not a sinner no more, but you're righteous. Not only, I don't even look at that as sin anymore because I became that for you. I took it upon me, and that as I planted that seed of my life, you now are righteous because of me. You're no longer sick. You're healed because of me. It's an identity. I, the sick Adam, listen, please, the sick Adam is crucified with Christ. No longer I, the sick Adam, but Christ in me, the healed Adam, is alive and free. Take that verse and apply it to every part of your life. I, Adam, the broke Adam, the one that can't pay his bills, is crucified with Christ, and the blessed Adam is alive, and by faith I'm going to live it out in Christ who gave himself for me a seed. Seed for what? So me, I can live the life of harvest. Jesus became the seed. Say I preach my batteries out, but that's not true. So. Okay, we back? Okay, we're back. Oh, now I got the mic back on. I thought I was going to switch mics. Okay, so no longer, ready? Back to Galatians 2:20. We're not done yet. So I, the bondage Adam, the one that has drug problems, the one that has alcohol addiction, no longer I live, but Christ in me, the free Adam, the one that doesn't have addiction, the one that doesn't have sin and bondage in his life. He who the Son sets free, that's me, that's the new Adam, is free indeed. When we identify with Galatians 2:20 on a daily basis, we understand that Jesus became the ultimate seed so we can have the ultimate harvest. And if we learn to die to that old mindset, we will learn to live in freedom like we never learned before. Now, I hope this is making sense to you all, is it? Galatians 2:20 should never be read the same again. I, fill in the blank, the depressed Adam, that doesn't exist no more, because I, the new Adam, the joyful one living in the peace and trusting in God, knowing that fear and depression has no right to operate in my body, the free Adam lives in faith, believing that God will work all things out. There's no reason to be depressed. We have a God that's on the throne. And I can say these things, but it's difficult. You know, I've ministered, just so you know. I've sat across people. And I myself have gotten to a place where I look and don't think there's a way out. You feel despair. But I know that God can cause all things to work together for good. I know that God is the one on the throne orchestrating my escape. When we understand that it's not the three Hebrew children being thrown to fire, I would have been pretty down if I was one of them. I don't know about you. If the guard that throws me in dies because it's so hot in that flame, and I'm sitting there in the flame alive, I'm thinking, how are we living here? But you know what did? Jesus met him, the fourth man. Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man in the fire. I believe this, if we can learn how to get our mindset in that no matter what circumstance we're in, the old I can't find life in that, but the new I finds Christ in it. We find how there's hope in every situation. No matter if you got yourself in it, let me say, in my life, I've orchestrated my life in such a way that I've caused my own problems, okay? Anybody just want to be honest? I've caused my own problems in my own life, and there's times where the Lord said, even if you got yourself in the mess, I will still get you through it. Don't let it be an excuse. Well, I'm sick because, okay, good, you figured it out. You know, I just want you to know there's another phenomenal story that my mom likes to tell about me, and that is my neighbor down the street would call my mom on a daily basis because when it was snowing out, we still like to play basketball. And their hoop down there was, they always did a great job with their snowblower. So we go down there. And by midday, I'm in shorts and a T-shirt playing basketball when there's, in Michigan. I'm from Michigan, so there's about, a foot of snow on there regularly in the winter. And that mom would call my mom every day saying, your son's out here with shorts and a T-shirt playing basketball, and it's 20 degrees outside in the snow. And my mom's like, I know. All right. Thank you for letting me know. But every day that the lady would call my mom, every day. And my mom would go, you notice how my son is never sick. He might look stupid. He all play, but you see, there's a situation that I'm going to let my kids be kids, and I'm going to let them just hang. So I was that guy that caused the stuff to happen to myself most of the time. If we use that as an excuse to let the devil have sickness or anything on our lives, isn't it funny how he'll come in and use that? Oh, if I just ate better, I wouldn't have a heart attack. Let's throw the if I's out and realize that the new I over here is free and healed, is blessed of the Lord. And when we can get a mindset that as we celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate the lives of those that did this for us as a natural gift for America. But as we celebrate this also, we celebrate the honoring, which is more of an honor, not a celebration, truly. We honor Memorial Day. We also honor Christ in a way that what he did for us is bigger and better than what we give him credit for. We live in a lot of pain. We live a lot of things in our life that he already died for, and we're supposed to be harvest for it. And the only way that we're going to truly access, worship team, you can come on up, by the way. The only way that you will truly access the blessing of the Lord is to get ourselves in a place that we die to the mindset that I can fix this somehow. The old I can't get you out of any trouble, but I, in Christ, through faith, can get you free of all trouble. Hope it's making sense to you all. Let's see here. So let's close with Romans chapter 6. We can't have this type of message without my favorite chapter here. Romans chapter 6. It's like last week, I decided I wasn't going to just preach on, you know. Those that, by the way, texted me and messaged me last week, I appreciate it. I really need it because after I knew last week was a very hard and strong word about repentance and about a lot of things, actually. But when we're talking about the water, the wind, and the fire of God for Pentecost, a lot of times we love to focus on the fire and the Holy Ghost, don't we? But you know, last week when we focused on the fire to purge us and cleanse us and get those things out of our life, it's not as popular of a message, by the way, as Pentecostals. But I want to encourage you that that fire is just as important to consume us as it is to consume in gifts and Pentecost fire. I tell you, in the same thing this morning, I really believe the church has got to come back to some of the basics, and this is simply one of the basics. Jesus became seed for us, and that seed has produced a harvest of righteousness, healing, prosperity. I don't hide from that. I believe the Lord is wanting all of us. 3 John verse 2, beloved, above all else, I wish that you would what? Prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Why is it that that is a prayer that is in the Bible and is the will of God for the church? Why is it not the will of God for me today? He wants us to receive the harvest that he sowed into. Jesus sowed his life so we can live a life of freedom. Galatians 6 is probably one of the best picture of what Jesus did for us. And it says, shall we continue to sin that God will just continue to give us forgiveness and grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin continue to live and dwell in that life? Why? Going back to the same principle, how can I, the new Adam, continue to live like the old Adam? How can I, the new Adam that has received grace and mercy, want to even go back and live like the old guy? You follow me here? This is our choice today. We can either choose to live like the old Adam, which is the one that we are born again, but not living it out, or we can live like the new one, healed, free, delivered, and walking in the blessing of the Lord. We were thinking, because don't you know that when you died with Christ, you were buried with him through baptism? And now, verse 4, jumping ahead, therefore we are buried that you should also, you should walk in the newness of life. The key there is, in my Bible, as I said, it's marked up pretty good. Lines and everything, circled the word should. You should. It is your choice today to walk in this newness of life. It's not my choice for you. Jesus did his part. Now it's your part. That word should be underlined, circled in my life every day, that today I choose to walk in the newness of life that Jesus sowed it for me. I choose today to live free. I choose today to not compromise. You know, one of the things we got to choose to live free from, and I've been working on a series that I only told one person about it. Now, my heart today is seeing the church and people around me not walking in self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, right? Self-control. Do you know a lot of things that we do in our lives is a lack of just us submitting to Christ in a way that we lose self-control? Do you know, I think this, I'm going to just go out there because I'm not a person who cusses, okay? I've said it before, I don't criticize. I've been around people who just naturally, you get a couple four-letter words flying off their mouth. But you know, a lot of that to me is undisciplined lack of self-control. But you know what? Anybody around guys like me, though, they get mad. And I mean, okay, so last week I left this story out. It's not nearly as good because the bandage is off and I can actually bend my finger today. Last week I couldn't. But I was on a job, and my son's like, "Dad, this steel is." I'm like, "You need to pre-drill him." So I'm like, "It's not working either." I'm like, "Yes, it is. Give me the drill. I'll do it." I'm getting in there, and then I realized the next one I got to wasn't pre-drilled. I thought it was, and I'm jamming this screw in, and it's not going nowhere. And finally, I'm a big guy, and I've been pushing screws, boom, right through my finger. I went, "Ah!" And I go, "Oh my!" Okay, true story. I said, "Oh my!" And the guy looks at me and goes, "What?" I go, and Josh goes, "Dad, we got out there." He could see all the way in through. "That's not good." I go, "Oh my, that's not good." And as blood starts going, so we get out there. And the guy looks at me and goes, "You said, oh my." And he starts laughing. I go, "I guess that's what it is." You see, I don't have the repertoire of cussing because I choose a long time ago not to. I made a choice a long time ago that those words shouldn't go out of my mouth anymore. So I say stupid things instead, like, "Oh my," "lions and tigers and bears." I don't know what I said. I said something like really dumb because those words don't register to me anymore. Why? Because a long time ago, I was told that it was wrong for Christians to have things spoken out that would portray evil to people around us. It's a bad testimony. Is inherently the word freaking better than the other word? Not in your heart, it's not. It's the same thing coming out. But it's better than the world outside. It's one step closer to being a better testimony. I'm not saying it's good. I've already said this before. I mean, the fact is, I told you, I had a swear jar growing up. My mom says, "Keep thy tongue from evil." A lot of stories about my mom and dad today. Isn't it fun? I can't wait till she listens to this one. She's going to be calling me soon. But I had a little cuss jar that I had to pay every time my mom heard me cuss. A lot of times she just watched me play basketball and went, "You owe me $20, you know, something like that. It went bad. I had a season in my life where those words were in my life. They were in my repertoire. But believe it or not, words that we use and words I've actually used from the pulpit were in that jar back in the day. We weren't allowed to save in words like that. I just let you know that we've come a long ways where we lack self-control in these areas. And I believe when we start seeing this should walk in newness of life, it's a choice that you have to yield yourself under the control of the Holy Spirit and not say those things, not do those things. This is not just living out the promises of blessings of God, be healed, free, and delivered. It's also that we should walk in a new life that our lives look different too. Let me keep reading because there's two more verses. For if, that word there is really, if we have been planted together because of the seed that was sowed by Jesus, we are now planted together in the same garden. You follow me? It's amazing how this all, that's why I had to finish the sermon, right? If we've been planted together because the seed that was sown, now we're all plants growing together. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, this is that verse that's circled, underlined, highlighted, and starred. One of my favorites. Knowing this, that our old Adam, the old I, had been crucified, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we shall not serve sin. Whose choice is that? Ours. We shouldn't serve sickness. We shouldn't serve disease. We shouldn't serve bondage. We have been put to a place of in Christ that does not exist and have power over us anymore. Jesus said, "I've already sowed my life for you to live free." Does this make sense to y'all this morning? Maybe it's just me, but I'm excited about it. I believe that the greatest seed that's ever been sown is the one for my righteousness, my healing, my justification, my freedom. It's all because of what Jesus did for me. And now I have the ability by my choice to choose. I, Adam, old guy, crucified with Christ. No longer that Adam living no more, but the new I, I'm living by faith every day that I'm healed. Faith every day that I'm free. Faith every day that I don't have to sin. Faith every day that I am living the righteousness of Christ in me everywhere I go. Amen? Father, I thank you right now that every single person as we walk out of here, we see ourselves walking up to an altar in our minds right now, laying our lives down, saying, the old I is being put to death today. I am crucified. I identify myself, sickness in my body, pain in my body, bondage in my body, sin in my life. I am walking this right now back to the grave and saying, I am crucified. This is being put to death in me right now so the new I can live in freedom, in healing, in health, in power, in blessings. So I choose today to live by faith, knowing that the work of your seed has produced a harvest in me. So we thank you for the seed that you produced for us, that you died for us, that we might live, we might be whole, and we might be free. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer team, I know we're lacking a little few folks, but I'm not sure who's. But you can stand up this morning, and you know, if you'd like to give prayer, say, listen, I would really like to identify right there. Anybody want to put those things to death this morning? So come on, I have some prayer. If not, let's just close out and worship as I can drown out.
Need no other hiding place. Our hope is safe within your name. This we know. This we know. You promise never to forsake. What you begin, you will sustain. This we know. This we know. And I will call upon the Lord, for he alone is strong enough to save. Arise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. All of the heavens and the earth announce the fullness of your word. This we know. This we know.
Jesus' name above everything.
strong enough to say, rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save.
Thank everyone for coming out today. Have a blessed week.
Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call His name. Jesus' name above every other. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain.
Blind, but now I see.